The argument I want to make tonight is for a more sophisticated explanation of the risks we face. Deterrence, at least for NATO, has been working, but the threats and risks are growing. For three decades, many did not have to think about the armed forces. Peace was stable. Conflict was distant. But that is no longer true. I will argue that the situation is more dangerous than I have known during my career, and the price of peace is rising. Our response needs to go beyond simply strengthening our armed forces. It needs a whole-of-nation response that builds our defence industrial capacity, grows the skills we need, harnesses the power of the institutions we will need in wartime, and increases the resilience of society and the infrastructure that supports it. And I will argue that this is not just a responsibility for our nation, but this is also an historic opportunity. An opportunity to build national resilience, to foster skills and opportunities for our young people, and foster a sense of national pride and purpose that has characterised our nation in times of conflict. The Defence Secretary has spoken powerfully about some of the threats very recently, not least in the context of the Russian ship, the Yantar, and its targeting of our and our allies' critical national undersea infrastructure. It's worth highlighting that this is more than a problem for Europe. These cables are a direct connection between the US and Europe. This is a threat to all of our security. Every day, as Blaise from MI6 said today, the UK is subject to an onslaught of cyber attacks from Russia. And we know that Russian agents are seeking to conduct sabotage and have killed on our shores. But Russia's hard power is growing quickly. Over the past 20 years, Russia has delivered significant defence reform and investment into what were weak and hollowed out armed forces. The Russian armed forces are now more than 1.1 million strong, consuming more than 7% of GDP and around 40% of government spending, which is a sum that has more than doubled over the past decade. While I've argued that Russia's campaign in Ukraine has so far been a strategic failure, with NATO bigger, more united, stronger, and spending increased amounts on rearmament, we should be under no illusions that Russia has a massive, increasingly technically sophisticated, and now highly combat-experienced military. Deterrence is also about our resilience as a nation to these threats. It's about how we make ourselves a harder target and harness all our national power, from universities to energy infrastructure and manufacturing industry to the NHS. It's about our defence and resilience being a higher national priority for all of us, an all-in mentality. And that will require people who are not soldiers, sailors, or aviators to nevertheless invest their skills and money in innovation and problem solving on the nation's behalf. Informing the public is a good start, but this is also about actively building or rebuilding defence capabilities and the national infrastructure that underpins our resilience. Our objective must be to avoid war. But the price of maintaining peace is rising. Unless we can explain the risks, we can't expect decision makers in government or society more broadly to pay that price. I will focus relentlessly on our readiness, our people, and our transformation to get the most out of what we've got and stay ahead of the threat. But our security cannot be outsourced only to the armed forces. We deter by being strong as a nation. That requires a whole of society response. The whole of Britain must step up. We do need, as the Prime Minister said, defence to be the central organising principle of government. I would add that it will become an increasingly central organising principle of society too. A new era for defence and a new era for Britain.